Im bechukosai teilechu, v'yes mitzvosai tishmeru, v'asisem osam, v'nasati gishmechem bi'itam, v'nasena ha'aretz yivula, v'yeitz hasode yitain piryo, v'hisig lachem da'yish espatzir uvatzir yasiges zora, Vachaltem lachmechem losova, vishavtem lovetach ba'artzechem. If you will follow my decrees and observe my commandments and perform them, then I will provide you rains in their time, and the land will give its produce, and the tree of the field will give its fruit. Your threshing will last until the vintage, and the vintage will last until the sowing. You will eat your bread to satiety, and you will dwell securely in your land. OU Israel presents...
Come in. Welcome.
Shalom and welcome to another issue of Torah Tidbits Audio. I'm your host, Phil Chernofsky. And this show is for Parshat Bechukotai and Lag BaOmer. Recording and first availability, Yom Chamishi, Thursday, the 18th day of Iyar 5779, also known as Lag BaOmer, which is the Omer count of last night. And it corresponds this year to May something or other, to May 23rd. Okay, sorry about that. It's nice that you could know the Jewish date better than you know the secular date. All right, where are we up to? How about Psalm 121, Tehillim Kuf Kaf Aleph, which is the one that we recite when, and this is not a rule, this is my custom, we recite 121 when we don't say Tachanun, which we don't on Lag BaOmer, and when we do, then we do 130. Both of them are generic, both of those chapters of Tehillim are generic requests for help from God. Shir lama'alot, esa enai el heharim, me'ayin yavo ezri. Ezri me'im Adonai osei shamayim va'aretz. Al yitain lamot raglecha al yanum shomerecha, hine lo yanum v'lo yishan shomer Yisrael. Adonai shomerecha, Adonai tzilecha al yad yeminecha. Yomam hashemesh lo yakeka v'yoreach balayla. Adonai yishmorcha mikol ra yishmor et nafshecha. Adonai yishmor tzeitecha uvoecha me'ata v'yad olam. And here's in English, which I don't usually do. A song to the ascents. I raise my eyes upon the mountains. Whence will come my help? My help is from God, maker of heaven and earth. He will not allow your foot to falter. Your guardian will not slumber. Behold, he neither slumbers nor sleeps, the guardian of Israel. Hashem is your guardian. Hashem is your protective shade at your right hand. By day, the sun will not harm you, nor the moon by night. Hashem will protect you from early evil, every evil. He will guard your soul. Hashem will guard your departure and your arrival from this time and forever. A very upbeat, but recognition that it is God who we need to rely on for all things. And that does not stop us from our own hishtadlus, which is our own efforts. We have a partnership with God in that score. Because we've had a musical drought during this Omer period, I would like to play the rest of the song that we used the first 18 seconds as introduction. It's Omer Rabbi Akiva. We'll talk about that, and later in the show we'll play the Bar Yochai song, and we'll try to focus on those two personalities when it comes to Lag BaOmer. In the meantime, Omer Rabbi Akiva, Ashrecha Yisrael, fortunate and happy is Israel.
Omer Rabbi Akiva, Omer Rabbi Akiva, Ashrecha Yisrael,
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 Ashrecha Ashrechem, Ashrechem Yisroei.
Ashrechem, Ashrechem, Ashrechem Yisroei.
Oy, lifnai mi, atem et ahare, mi met ahareschem.
Lifnai mi, atem et ahare, mi met ahareschem.
Lifnai mi, atem et ahare, mi met ahareschem. Lifnai mi, atem et ahare, mi met ahareschem. Abi chesed
b'shamayim,
Abi chesed b'shamayim, Abi chesed b'shamayim,
Abi
chesed b'shamayim, Abi chesed b'shamayim,
Let's ease back into the parsha first, based on Tadir Vishena, Tadir, Tadir Kodem. And let me give you a perspective. Because Pesach ran from Shabbat to Friday here in Israel, 7 days. And in Chutz La'aretz, where it's observed for 8 days, it ran from Shabbat to Shabbat. We, in Israel, commenced Parshat HaShavua on the same Shabbat that the rest of the world was celebrating the 8th day of Pesach. On a practical level, because it was Shabbat following Friday Yom Tov, we didn't have Chametz either on that day, but the davening was regular Shabbat davening, and the Torah reading was Parshat HaShavua. In Chutz La'aretz, as I said, there was a special reading for Shmini Shel Pesach, 8th day of Pesach, which, by the way, the Haftorah thereof is what we read on Yom Ha'atzma'ut without brachot, but we borrowed the messianic prophecy of the Haftorah of the 8th day of Pesach. And if you think about it for a moment, you finished the 7 days of the Torah observance of Zman Chirutenu, the time of our freedom, Yetziat Mitzrayim. And then the 8th day sort of points towards the future and the final redemption. We don't have an 8th day And that Haftorah of the eighth day of Pesach was chosen, and in my opinion, it's a perfect choice. Very, very emotional Haftorah for reading on Yom HaTzmaut, and I hope that in other communities around the world it was also done that way. In any event, we then went 1 week ahead of the rest of the world in Parshat HaShavua. So even though we're up to Bechukotai this week, the rest of the world is reading Bahar. There are many years where Bahar and Bechukotai are combined, and both Eretz Yisrael and Chutz La'aretz read them together, and they're not out of sync. And then there are some times where we split it, which is the norm for this year, and in Chutz La'aretz they double it up so that they could catch up, and that's in a regular year of 12 months, one Adar, in order to get back on track with us for the Tochacha in Bechukotai, and then for Bamidbar, followed by Shavuot. So this week, we have Parshat Naso in 2 weeks on a Shabbat, followed that Motzoi Shabbat by Shavuot, and the rest of the world Bamidbar. And we read Bamidbar next week, and in Chutz La'aretz they read Bechukotai. So I hope that hasn't been too confusing. What's important to note in Bahar and Bechukotai, which, as I said, are often combined, is the common theme. And the idea is we receive the Torah from God. We received a body of mitzvot to follow. We receive the repeated reminders that this is not really a choice, but a requirement. Of course, free will gives a person the opportunity to choose not to be faithful to God or not to keep the Torah, but hopefully many people choose the proper path, and eventually everyone will come to see that that is, in fact, the proper path. But comes Bechukotai and says, look, in Bahar there were promises made that if you keep Shemitah and you keep Yovel, then you wonder, some of you will wonder, what's there to eat if you can't have 2 years of cultivating the ground. And there's a promise that if you follow the mitzvot, there'll be plentiful food on the sixth year, right before Shemitah, to carry you through Shemitah and a Yovel year. Now in Bechukotai, we have the deal. If you will follow my statutes, and you will keep and preserve my mitzvot and do them, then I will give the nation, we're not talking about now individuals, that's other promises, I will give the nation plentiful and blessed rain in its proper time, and the earth will give forth its yield, and the trees of the field their fruit, and the seasons will be so rich that they will blend one into the other. Bottom line, at the end of the third pasuk, is you will eat your bread and be satisfied, and you will dwell in your land with security. The Torah then continues a couple of more psukim about having peace in the land, which means peace among Jews, and also you won't be threatened by wild animals, and the sword from your enemies on the outside will not pass through your land, and you will be able to vanquish your enemies, and all kind of good promises based on fulfillment of mitzvot and Torah, agricultural benefits, and security benefits. Then, if that's not enough, which it should be, but sadly, it's not enough. When a parent says to a kid, I have to ask you to toe the mark and obey me, and even have a good mood about it, and if you do, there'll be great rewards for you. Sometimes the parent, and in this case God, has to say to us, but if you don't follow my statutes, and keep my mitzvot, then negative things will happen. The sky will close on you, and you won't get beneficial rain, and you won't have good crops, and you won't be able to vanquish your enemy. And the Torah then continues into a litany, if that's the right word, of curses and promises in the negative of what happens with repeated disregard for our obligations to God. Now, a side point is that our history has demonstrated, unfortunately, that we need this sharp rebuke. And we just don't get the picture, don't get it in what our obligations are in order for that abundance and prosperity and peace and security to be ours. Now, I want to point out that the tochacha, this reproach, in Parshat Bechukotai, and again, differently, in Ki Tavo, are very heavy. They embarrass us, and they shame us, because we know that history has proven them necessary. And our challenge is not to continue in the same path of disregard for mitzvot and Torah, but hopefully to straighten everybody out. But that's the way it happens. Now, just as a side point, or not a side point, the tochacha, over the last couple of centuries, my guess is, the custom developed to read it in a soft voice so as not to jar our sensitivity. The aliyah that contains the tochacha in the Torah is not given to just any member of the shul. It's either given to the rabbi, whose broad shoulders the responsibility of the community sometimes lay, or the chazan, or the balkore. And my favorite part of that minhag is to give the aliyah to the person in charge of giving out aliyot throughout the rest of the year. Which means if a regular member of the congregation gets this aliyah, he's liable to think, what does this guy have against me that he gave me such a depressing aliyah? And that could go for the next guy and the next guy and the next guy. So instead, the person who gives out aliyot, if he's able to take this aliyah, takes the aliyah of the tochacha so that nobody can say, look what he stuck me with, he must have a grudge against me. On a further aside, which is more on the joke side, there was a shul that was so negative about getting the aliyah of the tochacha that they found a poor person, very poor, destitute, and they hired him to be in shul on Shabbat of the tochacha and to receive that aliyah, which he was making money on, so it wasn't so embarrassed, but this way it would spare anyone else in the shul to get that aliyah. Remember, this is a joke. So one particular Shabbat, Parshat Bechukotai, they get up to that portion, and they're waiting, and they're waiting, and they're waiting for their regular tochacha guy. And he shows up 10 minutes later, and he's panting. And the gabbai says to him, what's with you? You were supposed to be here for the tochacha. And he looked at him and he said, what, you think I can make a living with only one tochacha? He went shul hopping and had jobs in the other shuls also. Anyway, whether you like the joke or not, let's continue. So, there's the deal. I want to point out one other thing. If you follow the mitzvot, and if you keep God's commands, and if you do the mitzvot, then, dot, 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 you will live in security in your land. In other words, there is a promise for the Torah that Jews who live in Eretz Yisrael are promised prosperity and security if they keep the mitzvot. Take now your favorite community outside of Israel, and Jews who are very religious and keep all the mitzvot and are meticulous about this and strict about that, officially they have no promise that good things will happen because they're not here. The most dramatic of the opinions on the difference in mitzvot between Eretz Yisrael and Chutz La'aretz is the one attributed to the Ramban, Nachmanides, who says that we're not talking now about mitzvot that depend on the land. Obviously, if it depends on the land, it has to be done here and not outside of Israel. But all the other mitzvot, which are not linked to living in the land, are obviously obligatory all over the world. But he says that Jews are required to do these mitzvot in order to practice how to do mitzvot when they live in Israel. In other words, Shabbat observance in Israel is real. It's what the Torah wants, and it's what many Shomer Shabbat people comply with. Shmirat Shabbat, as many people in Chutz La'aretz who keep the Shabbat, they are practicing how to keep the Shabbat when it becomes real. Now this is very, very strong. And as long as I'm mentioning the Ramban and the strong point, I'll mention another famous Ramban, the mitzvah of living in Israel, comes, among other places, according to the Ramban, from this parsha. And part of the mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael is another prohibition in the Torah, in Bechukotai, not to sell or give any part of the land in perpetuity to a non-Jew. And that certainly includes not ceding sovereignty to sworn enemies of Israel, in no matter what the consequences are. And I'll say it like that, and I know that some people had a different opinion, but Ramban is very strong on that, and I wholeheartedly follow that idea with the Ramban on the importance of living in Eretz Yisrael, the importance of giving chizuk, strength, to those people who live here by periodically reviewing some of these aspects, by giving idud, which is encouragement, to Jews who have not yet made the commitment to live here, and in general that Eretz Yisrael should be a given, a high, not just a high priority, but a given foundation upon which to live a full Torah life. Does not mean you can't live a Torah life outside of Israel, but it is defective, and, in other words, it's missing many mitzvot, and the quality of the mitzvot that you can do is less. And this is emphasized by the beginning of Bahar, which we read last week, and in Chutz La'aretz you read this week, of God spoke to Moshe, Behar Sinai Lemor, and then continues with the mitzvah of Shemitah, as if to say an essential part of Torah, Misinai, even though all of Torah was from Sinai, but an essential part, a named part, an obvious part, and maybe not obvious to everybody, is living in Israel and doing the mitzvot of Eretz Yisrael. Do we have a perfect situation here in Eretz Yisrael? No. And I don't want to go into what we don't have. I'll just give you one of my favorite stories, which is about Rabbi Fabian Schoenfeld, who on one trip to Israel was driving from the airport to Yerushalayim, and he commented to someone in the car how beautiful the modern art version of the two tablets, which contained the Ten Commandments, was, how big and beautiful, on the approach to Yerushalayim. Somebody explained to him that that was not a modern art rendition of the Luchot HaBrit, It was Lahavdil Elif Alfei Havdalot, the McDonald's arch, a stylized M. And that says the story. That's the answer to the question, do we have everything that we need here? Not yet. But we come a long way on the road to Geula. And that's why many people who are usually labeled the Dati Le'umi camp value Yom HaAtzma'ut as Reshit Tzmichat Geulatenu, the beginning of the flowering of our redemption, and meaning there's more to come. And we work towards that more to come. And we study towards that more to come. And in Yirtzeh Hashem, we will see the fulfillment, not just for us, but for all Jews in the world, of the Messianic era, the rebuilding of the Beit HaMikdash, the restoration of Sanhedrin, the observance of all of Mitzvot HaTuliot Ba'aretz, B'mheira V'yomeinu, Amen. Let me, instead of waiting to the end, I'll play a different song at the end, but let me give you that Bar Yochai song as an introduction to Lag BaOmer, and we'll talk about that for a while.
Shirim, yeshirei chol. Bar yechuv, nimshach tu hashleichu. Shei mesusoy
Kodesh HaKodoshim Kam Yeroi Techadai Shodoshim Sheva Shabuzois Zavavoi Tramishim Tov Shartu Kishwaishim Kshure Yechai Vayechu Midi Shachtu Vashrei Yechu Penino, laugh with my sincere voice, Raish is the reino, Abkirim, Mimshaki, Oire, Yehoi, Bayehu, Vinishaku, Ashreyehu, Chaim, Susan, my Havarehu, Bayehu, Vinishaku, Ashreyehu, Chaim, Susan, my Havarehu, Bayehu, Vinishaku, Ashreyehu, Chaim, Susan, my Havarehu,
Okay, with a warning up front that you're not getting an objective presentation of Lag BaOmer. You're certainly not getting the Hasidish presentation or the Kabbalistic presentation. I'll dabble in it a little bit. But mostly, you're getting the perspective of a Misnaged. According to Shulchan Aruch, Lag BaOmer is a respite, if that's the word, during the Omer period, which we have what's called Kitzat Avelut, a little bit of mourning, that not the full period of the Omer, but for a 33-day period, different opinions as to how to count them, we have no marriages taking place, no hair cutting. Those are the two almost token gestures towards mourning. It is not the complete mournful period of the 9 days before Tisha B'Av, but it has a status of Kitzat Avelut, and people have to keep it, and it's been extended in our time to other kind of music, not just weddings, but anyway, I'm not going to get into that now. The period of the Omer, I'll repeat what I said a couple of weeks ago, is originally and in the future a semi-festive time, call it a quasi-festive time, almost akin to Chol HaMoed. It is the long intermediary days between when we came out of Egypt and when we received the Torah, the long period from the bringing of the barley offering in the Beit HaMikdash until the Shtei HaLechem, the two loaves of wheat flour that we bring on Shavuot. With the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash and the exile of the Jewish people, the festive flavor of this period obviously evaporated, and in its wake came this concept of Kitzat Avelut, mourning both the deaths of 24,000 students of Rabbi Akiva, who many of the commentaries say happened in a in battle against the Romans, and others point to a plague which broke out, and the Gemara gives different reasons why they did not merit to continue living. But again, I'm not going to go into all of that. And the Crusades, which get in there also, of various events that occurred during this period. The problem with the full period is the first 6 days of the Omer counting are part of Pesach. Then you have 2 days Rosh Chodesh, Iyar. And then you have Lag BaOmer. And then you have Rosh Chodesh Sivan. And then you have the 3 days before Shavuot. And in modern times, you have Yom HaAtzmaut and Yom Yerushalayim. So it's very hard to block everything out and see this just as a sad period of time, because there are many nice points of light and happiness within this period. In any event, Lag BaOmer is the traditional day, and according to Shulchan Aruch, the terminology that's used is we have the custom to practice Ketzat Simcha. Same word, Ketzat, means a little bit of mourning, a little bit of joy. Ashkenazim consider Lag BaOmer to be the break in the mournful part of the Omer and permit haircutting, shaving, and weddings. Sfardim include the 23rd day in their mournful period of the Omer, and only after 33 days will they allow weddings and haircutting and shaving. So that already, you know, gives you a sort of a fuzzy kind of blend. Now the Misnagdash community, and the one that came from Chutz Laretz also, they had picnics on Lag BaOmer and bows and arrows, which are supposed to be reminders of the rebellion of Rabbi Akiva and his kin, the Ken, at the time of Churban Bayit Sheni, and all kind of other customs that developed. Bonfires are very big in Israel. This year, just for your information, with the temperature yesterday and today being extremely high, the Weather Service was warning, perhaps toning down the number of fires, participating in fires together rather than everybody making their own. Last night, you can smell burning wood all over the neighborhoods, and you know, it still was done like that. Now, officially, with lenient permission under certain circumstances, the mournful period of the Omer continues not until Lag BaOmer, but through till the morning of Lag BaOmer. And that means that last night people weren't supposed to shave or take haircuts, nor should weddings have taken place, and only from this morning and on. And again, there are those that have different ways of counting. The fact of the matter is, and I think it's a practical consideration, when people wanted to get married on Lag BaOmer and the catering halls were all booked for Lag BaOmer day and evening that followed, they went and got permission, rabbinic leniency, let's call it, to have weddings last night as well. Okay, now we move on to the Hasidic world. And when I say Hasidic world, this is not exclusively the domain of Hasidim. There are many non-Hasidim who pick this aspect of Hasidic custom and practice and go all out also, of having festivities in all over the country here, and especially in the city of Meron, the burial place of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, the traditional yahrzeit of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, is Lag BaOmer. Now, someone raised this question. I think we wrote about it in Torah Tibbetz, and I don't remember who. So you got to look there and take that as my having given credit to that person. The question is simple. Moshe Rabbeinu, great leader of the Jewish people, the greatest leader of the Jewish people, is traditionally to have thought died on the 7th of Adar. The 7th of Adar is his birth date and his yahrzeit. And on the yahrzeit, there are people who fast, and it's a day that Chevra Kadisha, the burial societies, observes their special kapara, atonement, because of Moshe Rabbeinu's burial being taken care of by Hashem himself, God himself. And it's more of a sad day. Comes Lag BaOmer, which marks the Yom Hilulah of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, the yahrzeit of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, and he, as great a Tana as he was, and as great a person as he was, I'm not so sure, and again, looking at it from my perspective, that he reaches the greatness of Moshe Rabbeinu. So why celebrate his death and mourn Moshe Rabbeinu's? The answer is very simple and I think very important. Moshe Rabbeinu spent his life, his later life, teaching Torah to Bnei Yisrael. He was our main source of Torah and mitzvot. When he died, that stopped. That is worthy of mourning. When Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai emerged from his isolation, and his, I guess that's the best word, solitary living after many, many years, it was accompanied by his teaching of the deep secrets of the Torah, and that's a cause to celebrate. Bottom line for me, I do not know where permission to go wild with celebrations and bands and music and singing and dancing, especially in Meron, with tens and tens of thousands of people. I don't know where that came for the eve of Lag BaOmer, since the eve of Lag BaOmer, from the plain presentation in Shulchan Aruch, was not yet the end of the mournful period of the Omer. I think that's about all I can say, and that's about all I will say. And I have one more part of a medley. The first part was Amar Rabbi Akiva, the second part was Bar Yochai, and the third part is the third part of the medley, and I don't even know the song, but I'll play it. After, I wish you a Lag Sameach and a Shabbat Shalom L'Hishtameach.